everyone. This is Kelsey Kulik hanging out with Donald Jenkins on his show, Nashville Hits, Collecting Dust.
It's like, I used to think when I was younger, I'm like, this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually went for a job interview once,
mm-hmm.
and I got lucky because I sat in the waiting room forever.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the guy comes out to interview me, and like 5 minutes before, but I had been there like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, they're going to think I'm prompt. You know, I'm on top of it. I'm anxious. I'm ambitious. And then come to find out, I ended up getting the job,
mm-hmm.
but come to find out through his supervisor, he had a rule that if you're more than 15 minutes early, he automatically doesn't hire you.
Really?
And he didn't know I was in there.
Good.
And so I asked, I go, well, why? He goes, and I was young. I mean, I was like 22 or whatever. And he was like, well, he goes, you're not respecting the other people's time. Like they're busy. And it's one thing to be, you know, early,
right.
reasonably.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're 30, you know, minutes or more,
mm-hmm.
you're taking up people's time.
Right.
And I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. I guess I never thought about it like that either.
That was one of those lessons learned, but
that goes to the same too, the people that are always late. And that's why too, because you never know what could happen. You could get traffic. You know what I mean? Like, who knows?
Well, and the thing is, so I haven't changed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still early, but now I sit in the parking lot.
Right.
In other words, I don't let them know I'm that early.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll drive around or do whatever. But I'm like you. I take in account, like, everything that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Which sometimes has really saved me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you took all the time I have literally just waited in my life,
mm-hmm.
it is kind of... Like, I've probably wasted a lot of time.
I know.
So
I know. I think about that too. Oh, geez.
Kelsey Kulik. I say that right.
Yeah. Kelsey Kulik. Yeah.
And Kelsey spelled with an A because I was like, right.
Yeah.
It's
pronunciated like the Cal. I always get asked, people are always like, so do you say Kelsey or Kelsey? It's like Kelsey because that's, I don't know. My mom just wanted me to be different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's a good thing. Well, Kelsey Kulik, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And you know what? We're new friends.
Yes.
Aren't we?
Yes. Very new.
Right. Very new. But what I love about Nashville is that most people meet other people through mutual friends, which we have.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've always noticed is that it doesn't really matter how long we've known each other, especially if you meet through mutual good friends. It's like, I've known you for years already.
Right.
Or I feel that way.
And yeah.
Because you're fairly new to Nashville, right?
Yeah, just a month.
1 month comes from Canada.
Yes.
If you can't tell in the accent that she has been out and about. And am I saying that right?
Out and about.
Out and about.
Yeah, that's how it is. Yeah.
Well, I've never been to Canada, but...
you gotta go.
I know. I hear, but it's kind of a big place.
Mm-hmm.
So give me your at least top two recommendations if I were to go.
For sure. Either Banff or Jasper, which is in Alberta.
Okay.
And I love Vancouver or Vancouver Island. It's... those places are just beautiful. If you like, you know, like... beautiful scenery, mountains, and Vancouver doesn't get too cold.
Yeah.
Banff, if you go in the winter, it's going to be freezing, but I mean, it's still beautiful.
Well, I'm going to be honest. That's why I've never really, I know I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
but when I envision Canada, I think of like ice birds 24/7. And
right.
I know that's not the case. That's just what goes to my head. I'm from South Alabama.
Well, in the winter, that's how it goes, but yeah.
Canada, though, seems to pull a lot of musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a lot of people in Nashville that are from Canada. It's like Georgia and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you didn't know anybody down here, right?
Actually, you know what? I was down here a couple of years ago and I was recording a couple songs and I'd met somebody here before, but I didn't, it's not like we were close. You know what I mean? I just was like, he told me that I had to be down here if I wanted to be anybody, you know?
Right.
So basically I knew him and then I was like, you know what? I got to come down to Nashville to just see like how it's going to be. And I just fell in love with it. And I was like, yeah, I have to move down here.
We have that way with people.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the other day that like 82 people a day move to Nashville.
Oh, that makes sense.
And most people's stories is I came to visit, I fell in love and I moved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that. We kind of have that, I think, infectious. And the reason being is most of us are transitional as well. Like not many people are from here.
Mm-hmm.
So when we meet guests that come in, we're like, oh yeah, you too. And just like you, this is what I love. you know, you may have, you knew like one person or you knew of somebody, but it wasn't like it was a family member or like a best friend.
Yeah.
So you're in another country. Mm-hmm. You have this passion for music, obviously, and gorgeous voice, very talented. Matter of fact, I heard you last night and it was just unbelievable. But even before then, our mutual friend was like, you got to meet this girl. Like, she's amazing. So I knew of you before I knew you, and you've only been here a month, which is great. And of course, our mutual friend, Richard Casper, he's actually been on the show, episode 10. If you're listening to this and want to check it out, but just an amazing person, right?
Oh yeah. He's awesome. It's just amazing what he does for people. It's so inspiring.
Yeah. Please check that episode out if you haven't. Richard Casper, he is a war veteran, you know, but he has a purpose and a calling, and just, he was one of those people that I was saying came to Nashville and like, and just took it like a tornado. Mm-hmm. He's probably only been here 6-7 months. I've been here 15 years and I literally think he knows more people than I do already. Mm-hmm. He is just that person.
Yeah. But, it's crazy.
But has a great calling and does really good work. And I know you've worked with him, wrote with him a couple of times, right?
Yeah. Actually, I only wrote with him once. We want to write another one. He showed me another song that he wants me to write on. But yeah, we've wrote together once and it was a really good experience. Sometimes you get into writing sessions and, you know, it's just like dating. So you're going to either like somebody or you're going to be like, oh, well, it's not for me. You know what I mean? But Richard is, it was just an easy write and we are just so excited about the song that we wrote.
Okay. So I've interviewed a lot of writers in the last 4 or 5 years. That's the first time I've heard somebody used the analogy of a writer's room as a dating, like speed dating.
Oh, that's yeah. That's great.
It totally makes sense. Uh-huh. And I've had a lot of people say, you know, you either write good with some people or you don't, regardless if you're friends or not. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of writers that are good friends. They just, but they'll tell you, we don't write well together. Mm-hmm. And you, that's a great analogy. So, hey, if we want to write together, it's really like a speed date.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because sometimes you'll meet somebody and you'll be like, wow, or you'll hear them sing and you'll be like, wow, they're an amazing writer.
Yeah.
And then you'll go into a writing session with them and you'll be like, we just don't connect on that level. We could be friends. You know what I mean? Or nothing at all, but
yeah.
Or sometimes it's like, wow, that was like the best write ever. You know, it just depends. It's just one of those things.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I'm still getting to know you. We still but once again, I feel like I already know you through mutual friends. And that's the cool part about Nashville is that we just all kind of have that bond. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you're enjoying us so far. So what I want to do today, honestly, is I just have some questions for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know a lot about what we do. I told you a little bit about it last night, mm-hmm. But I'm not in music. I'm just a friend. I'm a fan, you know, mm-hmm. and you know, been fortunate to walk with a lot of friends that have done some really great stuff. Some others that maybe the rest of the world, or country hasn't really heard of, but their impact like mm-hmm. on the industry is so big because I just consider the writers, I have a heart for writers. Mm-hmm. Like they're just the heartbeat, I think, of the industry in general. And I hear so many great songs and I could literally sit and listen to people play acoustic and sing all day long. That's just, I love it. And when I hear some of these songs, I'm like, God, the rest of the world needs to hear this. And just the nature of the beast, right? The industry, not every song can be cut, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So this is what I do. I'm like, hey, let's hang out. Let's just, you know, give me and the rest of the world a taste of what it's like to, you know, be on Music Row. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to give a great perspective on that because you've been here a month.
Yeah.
And so there's that, you have that newness feeling still, right?
Yeah. So for me, it's really exciting, all the people that I've met, all the amazing writers. Ever since I was little, my favorite thing about country music was that it made me feel emotions mm-hmm. that I just connected with. And even though I was young, I still understood what these songs were saying. And they could be the deepest songs. And I would just sit there and I would be so infatuated with the radio or the CD player and just listen and just listen to the words and feel what that writer or that person was singing about, writing about,
right.
whatever. And to come to Music Row and meet all of these amazing people that do this for a living is just, you know, there's not that many up in Canada that do that, right? There is, but it's so spread out, you know, it's right. not in one center where you can hear it all the time. So
is your nearest neighbor like 10 miles away?
You know what? In the town that I grew up, yes. But I grew up on an acreage in a small town in Canada. The closest McDonald's was 3.5 hours away. So it was tiny. Yeah. It was a great place to grow up, but it was so small. I'm definitely a more city person now.
Do you guys have like a Costco or Sam's?
Yes, we have Costco, not Sam's.
So, I mean, I almost feel like that's necessary.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you go, you need to shop for like 2 months.
Oh, yeah. You got to stock up for sure. Yeah.
I was thinking of that. I'm like, can you do that with McDonald's? Like, all right, I'm going to make the 3.5 hour trip to McDonald's and get enough McDonald's for a month. Right. I don't know if that works, but maybe.
Oh, it was like a treat for us to go to McDonald's. We'd be like, McDonald's, yes. We were so excited. But yeah, and then I moved to the city and I was like, oh, McDonald's.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, so, you know, I know you connected a lot with the stories. That sounds like what really made you fall in love with country music. When did you start singing?
I was 3 years old when I first started singing. I had my first show in front of 500 people. My mom used to do this talent show. And so she was like, you know, I'm going to get Kelsey. She loves to sing and sing along with me. So I'm going to get her up there. So I sang What Part of No by Lori Morgan. Part of No, Don't You Understand? And I just fell in love with it then. But, you know, when you get older, people are like, oh, that's not a realistic career to follow. You know what I mean? You know, in their own way, it's, you know, it's how they feel, right?
Sure.
And then when I was 17, I was deciding whether I was going to go to university or if I was going to go and follow music. Cause I had two different, my mom was like, do what you want, be yourself. You know what I mean? Like other people were like, don't do it, go and be a nurse or do something like that. You know,
right.
Perfectly great professions, but just, that's not something that I'd like.
Right.
And, then I was diagnosed with cancer and I, decided, you know, after that, you know, going through chemotherapy and meeting all the people that I went through, being in the Stollery and all that sort of stuff, which is a hospital in Edmonton. I was like, you know what? Life is too short to not enjoy what you're doing. And then after that, I was like, I'm going after music. And that was it. So I met this producer, Richard Dashett, and he produced Fleetwood Mac's Rumors album and Tusk and Tango in the Night. And, he basically taught me everything that I knew. It was through a friend of a friend of a friend, and he really liked what I was doing. And yeah, so that's kind of how I got my start.
Wow. So I didn't know the cancer story.
Oh, yeah, well, we just met.
That's true. What? Okay, so now that brings up another question. Do you think it's a great story, and it seems that it like gave you really a clear perspective.
Oh yeah,
you know, of life, and mm-hmm. that's, you know, you had that passion before, right, for mm-hmm. music. I'm curious, do you think if that hadn't happened, would you be here today or be pursuing music? I'm just wondering. You may not be able to answer that. I was just kind of a.
I think that eventually I would have. It might have taken a little bit longer, but I mean, everything happens for a reason. I believe,
right,
and. Actually, Jason Isbell, he's one of my favorite writers, and he has this song, Elephant. And when I heard that song, I just bawled and I played it on repeat for like ever. And I was like, wow, this is amazing, because I've met people that have been in situations like this. And this is why I want to write music and sing music, because I want to make people feel like they're not alone, and I want to make people feel emotions, and I want people to feel like they're being heard. Because when Jason Isbell sang that song, I was like, he knows what I'm feeling. You know what I mean? He knows mm-hmm. how I feel. And I know he knows how all these other people feel. So it was just kind of like light bulb. You know what I mean? Like, this is for me. You know what I mean? And this was only a couple years ago, but after I'd already started to pursue music. And I was like, yeah, this is why I do music, so that I can make people feel like their stories are being told to the world.
That's a great, you know, piece of advice. Let me tell you what I heard from somebody who's not really pursuing music, but, you know, if you're listening to this and you're pursuing a dream, regardless of what it is, I think what I take from that, you know, you have a great story. You kind of have that perspective with cancer and, you know, going through that process. Mm-hmm. But I think to learn from you as somebody who doesn't have that story, but still wants to pursue a dream, is like, you know, you still have to put that life perspective. It is short. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think you or anybody else would wish maybe that kind of life scare, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
On anybody, right? No. Mm. But there's a lesson there somewhere, somehow. And somehow can you, you know, say or see your life as it is short and not just kind of hear it and go one ear and out the other.
Right.
Because I'm sure you had heard life was short before.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go through that and it's like it has a whole new meaning, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this is really why I'm even starting the podcast or even a lot of stuff that I've done the last 4 or 5 years. It was like life's too short to just go make money in business, you know, air quotes. Mm-hmm. I have to do something that I'm really fulfilled at. Because if I'm not, then I'm going to be miserable. It doesn't matter how much money or success I have. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I take. And even with Richard and some of the other people is like, if your purpose is big enough, if your calling is big enough, if your passion is, you know, strong enough, then really the obstacles, the odds and the ratios of making it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You have to do it, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And that's a lesson that I learned so over and over and over from different writers. It comes back down to that point. It's like, you know, if you want to do it bad enough, you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And Rick Huckabee said this in his episode, but if you can live without it, you know, you probably should.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the reality is if you can't, then you're going to do it anyway. Right. Yeah. And that was, you know, your kind of eye opening moment. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. So look, we're learning so much about each other. Well, here's what I'd like to do. And then so I call this Hits Collecting Dust. And you know, it's no negative towards the industry or anything. It's just, hey, I'd love to hear one of your favorites that we hope gets cut one day, right? But it's not right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And hey, if you could just maybe tell us the story on how you wrote it and sing it for us, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to sing actually a brand new one because it's my favorite right now, you know? And this is a song that I wrote for any women out there that are going through something that they don't feel like they should be going through, you know, heartbreak and loss. Well, I feel for you ladies because we've all gone through it or will go through it at some point in our life. And this song is called Broken Days. In a one bedroom apartment on the north side of the town, she can't stop her crying, 'cause he told her he wants out. He said that she's lost something and he can't love a lie. I never meant to hurt you, darling, but I've gotta say goodbye. She says, I'm still here, I'm still me. This war, I can't try to make you love me anymore. She said, I used to be your sweetheart, and I still feel you're mine. But I can't stop your wandering eyes while I gracefully age with mine. She said, I helped you fight your demons, and I never once complained. But now I'm walking bumpy road while you walk the other way. She says, I'm still here, I'm still. This war, I can't try to make you love me anymore. Mm-hmm. one rolls around, I hope you take a chance to see through all her broken days. I'm still here, I'm still me. You just chose not to see. Yes, I always loved you just a little more. But I can't try to make you love me anymore. In a one-bedroom apartment on the north side of town.
I love that song.
Thank you.
Now I have to add, I mean, I literally have chills right now. So, was this from a personal story or was this something that you wrote with somebody else? Or how did that?
You know what? As a songwriter, I always, the songs that I feel the most connected to are the ones that I have lived through some sort of part of that.
Sure.
Right. So yeah, this was a personal experience, but it's also an experience too. I mean, I get a lot of experience from my grandparents. My grandma is one of my most favorite people on the planet. She is my earth angel. I told you before she drove down with me.
Yeah, and she's a trooper too. Yeah.
She is, right? 26 right. hours. She did really good. But yeah, so I wrote this song about me, but I also, you know, like one of my favorite lines is, I can't stop your wandering eyes while I gracefully age with mine. Right. And that's just something that I have always saw in my grandparents' relationship. My grandpa is an amazing person. You know what I mean? But like, yeah. You know, sometimes you see that with people, right? And it's not a bad thing. You right. know what I mean? Right. He's just looking, you know, right. No big deal, right?
Well, hey, and just to, you know, maybe defend the male species for a minute. It's not always.
No, and it's not.
That song could be the other way around.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, just making sure.
Absolutely. No, I totally could write it from a guy's perspective as well, right? But I mean, being like that I've experienced something like that, and then, you know, that you can see other people experience. And actually, I just posted this song on my Facebook page, and I just wanted to get some feedback on it, right? And you know what? Men loved it just as much as women loved it. And I was really happy about that. I literally just posted it 2 days ago and it's got like 20,000 views. And I think that's something that people really connect to. You know, I can't make you love me anymore is something that a guy could say to a woman too, you know, because we all want love from somebody and acceptance, right?
Right.
And, you know, that's something that's felt by both people, men and women.
You're right. There at some point in time, and if you haven't experienced it, I think you will.
Yeah.
Right? So we definitely can connect with it. And hey, I don't wish a broken heart on my worst enemy.
No.
I've been there and I laugh now. Now you laugh. But you know, I had my, I think, you know, big heartbreak or whatever. And I told somebody one time, I go, if you tell me that you're heartbroken and the next words out of your mouth aren't, and I was in a fetal position crying, then you weren't heartbroken.
Right.
It's that kind of vulnerable. It's like, oh, just devastating.
The
right?
worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst. And it's something that like Advil can't fix. It's not, you know what I mean?
That's the worst part about it. Nothing makes it go away.
No.
And then you get that, you know, it's good advice because it's true, but it's like just time. And you're like, but that's not what I want to hear. I don't want time.
I want it tomorrow. I don't want it to be a year from now or however long it takes to get over it. But yeah.
Well, it's an amazing song and you have a gorgeous voice.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that. On a little side note, funny note, you know what I've noticed about most people that have an accent?
What?
They don't have it when they sing.
Oh.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have noticed that.
I mean, even like, say, Keith Urban, or, you know, you hear Keith Urban talk. Mm-hmm. He has that South African accent. Mm-hmm. But when he sings, you don't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
When you and I talk, I hear your Canadian accent. But when you sing, I don't hear it. I'm just wondering. I don't know why that is.
I don't know. I've always wondered that, too, with people that are, like, over from England and stuff. And you think that it'd be really heavy, but it's not at all. Like,
not when you sing.
Yeah, not at all. Awesome. I don't know what that is.
Well, hey, thanks for coming in, and I would love for you to come back and maybe do this again.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you so much, Donald, for having me.
Kelsey Kulik.
Yes.
From Canada, and a new Nashville local, and I'm excited to watch you and your career. It's one of the fortunate things that I've got to do in the past, and what I love to do the most. When people just move here and they're here to pursue that dream, it's really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
This has been HIDS Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.